Spring Conference 2005 in Chicago, Illinois, on March 26th through 27th with Brother Titus Chu. The living and exercise of Godmen for the accomplishment of the goal of God's economy, to gain His testimony through the church. Message 2.
I'm thankful for your reading. It's very encouraging. How about I just read it to you and we go slowly? We come to the topic of the living and exercise of God-man for the accomplishment of God's, of the goal of God's economy, to gain His testimony through the church. We did cover the matter of economy. We say in Greek word, it is oikonomia. Oiko means household. Nomia is from nome. Nomia itself means administration or law. The law administration. From nome means when the law, when the administration is exercised, is stressed on the dispensing of life. So who is for God's economy? I would say three principles, please remember. Number one, are you seeing the household of God? Once you see this, that very much lay a good base for you to be a person living for God's economy. Secondly, are you abiding in the operating law of the Lord? Are you abiding in His administration? Then thirdly, are you receiving life and also a life dispenser? These three things will speak out. Are you a person of God's economy? For instance, you say, I'm for God's economy. That may really means I'm for the church, I'm for the household of God. Then I abide in the law, in the administration, in this household. Then I receive life, I also dispense life. Brother, these are very crucial. Why are we here? We are here for God's economy. Therefore, our stand is that we are for Lord's testimony, that is His household. Our living is according to law, according to the divine administration for the household. Then our exercise, our flowing out of the living, our operation is the dispensing of life. So eventually you realize whether the person is one in God's economy is decided by, is he living? Is he receiving life? Is he dispensing life? Is a person causes others a life? This life dispensing become the most crucial parts in God's economy. Then we come to the second message. It's a little bit hard to understand because take me a few times to understand what the brother tried to say. The government living required in the church life in order to arrive at the goal of God's economy. Now, the whole message has nothing to do with the church life. If you see God's economy is a household, then you know that God's economy is related to church life. If you should be in the church life as a person for God's economy, you must have a God-man living. So this message is not on how you should have a God-man living in the church life. Rather, how you should have a God-man living according to God's economy. Is that clear? So after I read the whole message, I called the composer. What's your name? Sorry. Yeah, I'm so tired. Marty, yeah. I said, where's the church? The whole outline doesn't see the church. Then he says, it doesn't have to see the church. Then I read it again, and he's right. It's not talk about the church life. It's talk about what kind of person you should be in the church life. Where you are in the church life, for God's economy, what kind of person you ought to be, so that you can arrive at the goal of God's economy. So now, this whole message is focused on you, on your person, on your living, on your growth, on your existence, and on your struggle. His whole message is focused on the person's living. And he called this living a God-man living. Oh, it's hard. You know why? The word God-man is just hard to interpret it. Number one, now, remember, there's a book called The Two Natures of Christ. In other words, with Christ, there's two natures. So what? He has divinity. He also has humanity. Am I right? He has all the divine attributes, and he also has all the human virtue. He is both divine and human, and human and divine. So he is the first God-man. He is the prototype of all the God-men. God-man comes is a reproduction of Christ himself. Christ, in a good way, is complete God. You see Christ, you see God. Am I right? Then he's also the perfect man. He's a complete God, he's perfect man. Okay, with all this we understand, what is God-man? By nature, we can say, we have the divine attributes. Then we also can live in our human life with human virtue. The divine attributes express through human virtue that makes you a God-man. Because what is within you is divine. What you live out is human. So when Brother Lee first ministered to us, God became man, that we should become God, or we shall become God, or something like that. A young man began to shout on the street, "Hallelujah, I'm God." I still remember that before the meetings we fellowship, everybody get very nervous because we didn't have a real God man. We got the shouters declaring he's God. That's become, if you're not careful, that become blasphemy. It's harmful, damaging, even to us, to the testimony. So, brother, what is God man? Number one, you realize, by Lord's mercy, Derek, I'm happy you are here. You know what's happened? They think I arrange you here so we can have a good talk. No. He sit here by God's government. Amen. I have nothing to do with it, but I did tell him, try to sit here tonight. Then I'm afraid you don't show up. You know what I did the first thing tonight? I walk into the meeting. First thing, I look for you, and I see you are here. I'm very relaxed. Praise the Lord. Do you know, Derek? You are a human being. Am I right? And within you, there's a divine nature. You receive Jesus Christ. The moment you receive the Lord Jesus Christ into you, the divine nature comes into you. You have the life of Jesus Christ. That's why you say, I am born again. I have the first birth with what? The human life. I'm born again with what? The divine life. So according to the divine life, I have God's nature. According to human life, I'm a human being. This is why a Christian can be called a God-man. If a Christian only live God and no longer a man, then he's too angelic. I'm afraid he cannot last very long on this earth. If a Christian is so human yet without God, he should join the Buddha, Buddhism. Because in Buddhism, there are many monks, very, very human, but without God. Praise the Lord, we are Christians. And we Christians are so different with all mankind, other people in the mankind. Why? Because they only have one nature, we have two. They only have one life, we have two. They merely are human beings, we have human life, also with the divine life in our regeneration. So this is why we are a God-man. Then let me ask you, in what way you can consider God-man in a healthy way? For instance, come on, sorry. Here I see Derek, regenerated December the 10th, about 1:30 at midnight. Am I right?
Yep.
Now here I say, Brother Karate. No, he was saved a little bit longer than you. He was saved 2 years. But he has a better chance to grow because he was in the household of God. So, brother, be sure after this conference, meet with the brothers. Mm-hmm. Don't be just a good brother by yourself.
Yeah.
In God's economy, you need the God household.
Amen.
Am I right? Then you have this brother. Many years loving the Lord. Pious person. Actually, was a religious person. Now, by Lord's mercy, he began to know life, enjoy life. He's no longer that religious. Then we have this Seth. Seth, give his heart to Columbus. Come up here. Columbus. He would forsake Cleveland for Columbus' sake. He's a Jew. He was a Jew. Now he's a regenerated Jew. Are you a Jew, right? Because no one named Seth is not a Jew. Am I right? That's a Jewish name. There are four governments. Human life, they are the same. These are all young men with young human life. And they all have the divine life. Am I right? Everyone can be considered as God-man, but I would say a God-man in different degree. This is a man with the smallest amount of God. Don't be offended.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. This is a man with a little more God. Am I right? And this is a man with even more God. And this is a man knows a lot of God. Am I right? Oh, that's why he says. And he's no longer for Columbus. He's for the Lord's recovery now. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. For God, man. For different stage God, man. What is a real God, man? I say this. With this God, man, he needs a lot more time to pray. A lot more time to be in the Word. A lot more time to enjoy Christ. A lot more time to preach gospel. So a lot time, more time to be with the brothers and sisters. So what? So Derek can grow.
Amen.
You know, we hope we see him half year later. He will become a different Derek. How about that? With much more God and less Derek.
Amen.
Am I right? Now, there are four God-men, but they all are very different. What is the healthy, proper God-man? Is that man is constituted with God. The degree of constitution decides the degree of the reality of God-man. Do you understand what I'm talking about? For instance, Derek, you and I are here together. Sorry, huh? I'm saved 50-some years. You are saved 500 days. So there is a big difference. Am I right? I'm saved 50-some years. Now I'm around 70. And you are saved just 15 months.
Yeah.
Around 50 months. And you are how old?
I'm 25.
He's one-third of my age. The time I love the Lord is much longer than his whole life. Am I right or not? Double his whole life. I love the Lord more than 50 years, and he lived only 25 years. Right? I tell you, brother, I'm a much more God man than he is. Yet we both are God men. This is a mini, mini God man. This is mini or not that many God men. What is the difference? How much this God, this very God, is constituted in man.
Amen.
And man is able to live out God, decide how much you are a God man. Do you get my point?
Amen.
Is this a God man?
Amen.
Is he a God man?
Amen.
Is he a God man?
Amen.
Yeah, he is a God man. Hallelujah. He may say, wait, listen. I'm a mini God man, but I'm a God man.
Amen.
Am I right? And this one, Brother Hero would come in. I'm a lot more God man. But isn't he a God man? But even he's much more God man, there's still a lot more growth waiting for him.
Amen.
For him to be a mature God man. For God constitute into this person. For this person to live out God, expressing God through his flesh. For more divine attributes to be constituting him. For more human virtue to live out through him. This is God-man. Do you understand? Thank you, brothers. Huh? I need to spend some time. Otherwise, we use the word God-man too easy. God-man, God-man. What is God-man? God-man is a man with two natures. God-man is a man with two births. God-man is a man with divine life. When he's constituted with God, he's God-man. When in his living, in his operation, in his exercise, God lived out through him. He's a God man. And this God man, remember, should be increasingly constituted with the divine attributes. When the divine attributes begin to live out through you, that become real human virtue. So now, are we clear about God man now? So as a God-man, brothers, as a God-man, you need five things. Number one, you need to be filled with the breath of God as a life supply for organic salvation. I tell you, brother, when I read these lines, it really give me headaches. You know why? Because there's too much in this. These are not simple statements, huh? If I spend too much time, then I will rob away your testimony. If I don't spend time, you go over it again. You get another terminology. You are not a dictionary. You are a God man. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You must have some reality of being a God man. Who is a God man? Number one, you are filled with the breath of God as the life supply. The breath of God, you know, when we read the Bible, it says God breathed. It's one word and not two words. You know the problem with us, huh? We should be filled with the breath of God. So we consider is this, God breathing come to you. God is still God. You receive his breathing. Do you get my point or not? No, you don't receive the breathing. When you receive the breathing, you receive God. God breathing and God is inseparable. No, you don't understand. Don't worry. I'll come to it. Make it simple. Introduction is always hard. I can see you know, he's such a learner. He began to show in his face, you know, please, I don't know what you're talking. Oh, just be patient now. Remember this. The Greek word here is, Jim, what's the Greek word there? It's a theo, that is God, right? Pneustos, right? Theo pneustos, relate to pneustos, which relate to pneuma. Pneuma, that's a spirit, right? Which is also breeze. The breathing, or the breath, or the breathing, actually is a spirit. It's the same Greek word as a spirit, pneuma. Right? The Greek word, pneuma. Now, here says, theopneustos. Theopneustos. The other word, God breathes. When say God breathes, doesn't mean you receive breathing, and forget God. It doesn't mean you receive God as the raw way. God breathes, or the breath of God, means what? When you, as a Christian, begin to receive the divine breath. This very God, as the Spirit, come into your being. Do you get my point? So you receive the divine breath. you receive the divine breathing. Then you are receiving the divine God. What is this breathing? This breathing, this breath, this divine breath, God breath, is the Spirit itself. So we should be filled with God breathing, our breath of God, as what? As our life supply for our organic salvation. I don't know if I can tell you stories. Maybe I can, but it's sometimes not. I think it's okay. I think the brother will forgive me. I went to a hotel. It designed as a throne. I can't believe it. You know, you have a huge building in the back. That's the back of the throne. Two large buildings on each side is called two arms. Do you get my points? And the whole design is biblical. You know, you walk in, there's a Jacob's ladder, and there's bushes, and there's palm trees, fake one, you know. And there's beautiful light, they call it beautiful light. The light changing all the time. Then I look at it, I walk in, the brother was very nice to me. Either charge me half, 50% off, or just let me have it free. He's very, very, very nice, a good brother. I walk in, I said, wow, what a hotel says. You know, in the carpet, it says organic salvation. The carpet was inserted, you know, regeneration, justification, sanctification, renewing, transformation, confirmation, transfiguration, and building, renewing, building. There, oh, I couldn't believe the big building, how many stories building are saturated with organic salvation. I look at it, that really remind me of brothers in Cleveland. Because I can only expose brothers in Cleveland, otherwise you get mad at me. The brothers in Cleveland loves me, so they know, well, we'll tolerate Titus talk about us. Remind me, oh Lord Jesus, so many brothers among us. So many know so much about these terminologies. Even they are on the carpet for people to walk upon. Do you get my point or not? Yet they have no idea what is that. No idea. No idea what is organic salvation. Organic salvation means, let me define to you again. Now, once the definition is gone, it can go real fast. Organic salvation means you are saved organically. Am I right? No one joined Christianity. Every believer can testify, I'm saved because the Lord Jesus organically lives in me. Amen. Am I right? Are you saved? Amen. Yes. Lord in you? Amen. Live or dead? Alive?
Alive.
Dead. Alive or dead? Lord Jesus.
He's alive.
Dead.
Alive.
Dead.
Alive.
Dead.
Alive.
Don't argue, young man. I'm a senior. Dead. Dead.
You gotta go with alive.
That's organic. It's not a convincing. Not a talking. I teach you, no, he's sometimes he's dead, sometimes he's alive. He's alive! Oh, brother, you were saved 15 months, right? I'm pretty sure you never lose your temper in the last 15 months. You never lose your temper? Don't lie.
Oh, lose my temper,
yeah. Oh, yeah. When you lose your temper, he's dead. Let me ask you again. Derek, when you lose your temper, when you do something not pleasant, not pleasing God, at that moment, Jesus is dead.
I'm not fine, I don't know.
You don't know.
You
don't know. Let me ask those who have a little higher God man, right? Little mature God man. Do you lose your temper?
Yeah.
Do you do wrong things? When you do wrong things, Jesus is dead in you.
No, he's alive.
Then how dare you do it? You know, many young people, when they are so relaxed, they carry Lord Jesus right into the movie theater. and enjoying all kind of funny things, and tell Jesus, sorry, you cannot die. I wish you can die for a couple hours. Then I can watch movie at peace. Am I right? But you won't die. Therefore, sorry, you just have to suffer with me. Do you have that experience? Do you have that experience? Sometimes you feel so bad within you. When something improper, unhealthy, you are doing it, whether willingly or unwillingly, whether you think it's right or not right, but whatever that is, you did it. When you were doing these things, you had a feeling, oh, it's really bad. Do you have that experience? That's really bad. You know, what does that mean? That means he's alive. If he's dead, you have no feeling, right? When you feel he's really bad, that means he had a lot of feelings. He's telling you, I'm unpleasant. I'm unhappy. I don't like this dark house called the theater. I don't like to watch these things called movie. One brother did say, he said, Titus, you shouldn't disgrace movie, novel in the meetings, because they do it. You cannot help it. I said, I never tell them don't do it or don't do it, but I just tell them, when you go to theater, the Lord went with you because he's alive. Why? He's organically united with you. Am I right? As he's organically united with you, then what? He's growing in you. Do you realize? You're saved for 15 months. Am I right? In 15 months, even by yourself or with just a few brothers, this Lord Jesus grow a little bit. Am I right or not? You have to say, I'm different. Why I'm different? Because there is something called organic salvation, right? In this organic salvation, I still give it to you, huh? Number one, you have the forgiveness of sins. All your sins are forgiven. Am I right? Then you begin to have a Christian life, which is called a life of renewing. In other words, what is renew? You see something, but the more you see it, the more you find it's different. That's called renewing. Do you get my point or not? You have an impression of me already, don't you? Do you really know me yet? Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I tell you what's going to happen. If you come to more meetings, if you come to more conferences, you will know me more. That know me more called renewing. And your apprehension of spiritual things, your understanding of spiritual things will all become advanced in time, in the process of your Christian growth. How long? That is lifelong. I love the Lord more than 50 years. I will still have, I don't know how many more years, Lord would give to me for me to love him. Brother, but anyway, a man at 70 cannot boast many years. Do you get my point or not? Age is age. You tried concrete, that has to be rare. In general, age gets you. You know, brother, whatever the time Lord has given, left for me, you know, I'm here doing one thing, to be more renewed. The Christ I know is very different with the Christ I know a few years ago. The Christ I know a few years ago is very different with a Christ I know 6-7 years ago. Do you get my point? Every going through the time, my Christ is different. Because my Christ is different, so my understanding of life, my understanding of my existence, my understanding of God's economy, my understanding of God's work, my understanding of Christ being, the understanding of Christ's accomplishment, all become different. The difference is renewing. Through the renewing, in the renewing, there is what? Then firstly, you not only your sins are forgiven, you have go through something called sanctification. You are sanctified, right? After being sanctified, you go through another called what? Brother Chen, what is that? Oh, okay. You have another stage. Justification, sanctification, and transformation. After transformation, you have another stage called conformation. Am I right? Conform to the image of his son. Eventually, you have what? With conformation, you have transfiguration. So you have the stages. Regeneration, then justification, then sanctification, then transformation, then conformation, then transfiguration. Brother, these are stages in cycles, only transfiguration. This can be wait till the last day, right? In a way, it's like this. Do you get my point or not? So I'm regenerated. So I'm sanctified. So I'm what? Conformed. I'm transformed. I'm somewhat conformed. You know, all very little. But you have a little bit of that. I give you an illustration of karate, Brother Karate. Before you were saved, you're a militant. Am I right? A militant person. Yeah. Then you got saved. You know what happened? Number one, you are regenerated. A life come in. Number two, you are, what is, sanctified. Your life, for some reason, many things you used to do, you cannot do it anymore. There is a sanctifying nature produce a sanctifying living. Then all the sanctifying, you begin to experience a little transformation. Very, very little. Even now, come up. Even now. Look at the stern face. That is karate face. Even the karate haircut. Am I right? But didn't you see some sweetness of Christ? Amen. Didn't you see some? Right? It's not a harsh face anymore. That is transformation. And that degree of Christ is confirmation. So we can say, praise the Lord, this young man, he was regenerated. Amen. He was in the process of renewing. In the process of renewing, he was what? Sanctified. He was transformed. He was conformed, waiting to be transfigured. Am I right? Amen. So, is that over? No. Regeneration, once for all. Transfiguration, once for all. There will be a higher degree of sanctification. You understand what I'm talking about? In the beginning, your sanctification dealing with sin. Oh, I commit something. No, I won't do that anymore. Then gradually, it's no longer sin. And the second level, your sanctification dealing with improper living. You know, I used to smoke. If you smoke, don't tell me right or wrong. I'm not telling you right or wrong. But I'm just telling you, I used to smoke. I feel it tastes good, even though everyone knows it tastes awful. Am I right? You know the cigarette smoker? They like it. We don't understand why they like it. It only makes their teeth look ugly, gives them opportunity to get lung cancer, and everybody sit by them, get bothered by them. Yet they can overcome it. But the second level of sanctification, they argue, right? Say, I didn't commit any sin. I'm just smoking. I pay money for the cigarette. I didn't steal it. But second level, sanctification comes. For some reason, you drop your smoking. Right? All of this, more transformation, more confirmation. Then you come another stage of life. You find out, no. It's more than I'm apart from sin. I'm apart from smoking. That is no longer sin, but just a bad habit. Now, I come into something even higher. Do you get my point? I'm so sanctified, whom I consider my future. How can I make myself a multi-millionaire? I begin to feel guilty. Do you have that feeling yet? Yeah. Praise the Lord, brother. Yeah. You know, what does that mean? That means a higher sanctification. So remember, Don't go in this way. Now I'm in stage one, I'm in stage two, I'm in stage three. No, it's a circle. Circle. You go through all your life. Regeneration, once for all. Transfiguration, once for all. You can never be transfigured twice. Just like you can never regenerate twice. But the renewing is a lifelong process. Am I right? With a lifelong process, you keep on experiencing sanctification. You keep on experiencing transformation. You keep on experiencing conformation. Do you get my point? Eventually, you become mature. What is that? That is called organic salvation. Salvation will come to a point organically that your body, soul, and spirit, your spirit, soul, and body, all are in the salvation. You know, brother, the being filled with the breath of God, or God breath, a God breath, as a life supply is for organic salvation. Point A. I will have to go real fast. Huh? But these are concepts that can help. If the concept's not clear, everything you know are terminologies. Only when the concept's clear, your understanding will be real. Point A. In order to fulfill God's ultimate intention to gain a corporate God-man, in other words, not just one, but the household of God as a corporate God-man, for his corporate manifestation, God desires not good men, but God-men who are filled with the breath of God. Christ, what is the breath of God? What is the breath of God? Now, here's the explanation. Christ, in resurrection, become the holy breath for his divine transmission into our spirit for his dwelling and supplying. What is breath of God? Breath of God is the spirit of resurrection. When the Lord Jesus Christ have incarnation and goes through human living and died on the cross, eventually resurrected. In his resurrection, he became a life-giving spirit for us to take in him as the breath of God. So when you say, I breathe in God, I breathe in the divine breath, I breathe in the spirit, you are actually taking what? Resurrection. It's not a sensation. It's a fact. It's not just feeling good. Now I have Lord's presence, like we were singing these songs. We're in these meetings. We'll say, oh, in these meetings, when we're singing, oh, we feel so good. No, more than that. In enjoying this, you have a substance. What is that substance? That substance is resurrection. Do you know? Don't look down at the spirit. You have a spirit. In the day of regeneration, your spirit is made alive. And this today, the very Christ become God's breath, or the breath of God. This God breath is God himself in resurrection come into you. When they say, oh Lord, when you say, I love you, when you say, Jesus, when you say, have mercy, when you say, Lord, I give my life to you, when you are exercising your spirit, what you are receiving in the resurrection. Amen. Oh, this is the most marvelous thing. What is the spirit? The spirit is the spirit of resurrection. Amen. What is the divine breath? The divine breath is the breath of resurrection. What do we breathe in? We breathe in the divine resurrection. You know, brother, when the resurrection come to us, then, brother, that's why we can be here today. Brother Karate, how many times you failed to love the Lord in the last 2 years? Yeah, that's honest talk. The best way is to say, Titus, don't ask. I'm very embarrassed. I dare not count. I dare not think. I try to forget about them. If I just try to remember them all, they will load me to death. But you should say this, brother, every time I die, only proves there is resurrection. Amen. Every time I fail, every time I'm defeated, every time I'm brought to death, every time Satan comes, every time the world comes, every time my self-life comes, every time I was brought into a place, very difficulty. Hallelujah. I can take in the divine breath. God breathed into me as the spirit of resurrection. I experience resurrection. So, I can tell you. You know, brother, Derek, I tell you good news. I hope you can do better than I do. Because shamefully to tell you, in the last 50 years, over 50 years, I failed numerous times. Which also means I resurrected numerous times. Amen. Don't be bothered by your failure, but rather enjoy the supply of life. Amen. Because the divine breath, breathing you is what? It's resurrection. Amen. So here, Christ in resurrection become the Holy Spirit for his divine transmission into our spirit for his dwelling and supplying. Then point C. We can receive this life imparting as we exercise our spirit for the continued receiving of the spirit in the scripture. It's very good, huh? Not only the spirit, but also the Bible. Then what is the Bible? The scripture, right? Then what is the scripture? Young sister, do you speak English at all? Not at all. You hear what I say? What is the Bible? Remember Lord Jesus said? The Word. The Bible is a word, huh? The Word. I speak to you. They are spirit. And they are life. The Word. The Word. The Word. I speak to you. They are spirit. They are life. This Bible is spirit. This Bible is life. When you turn to the Bible, we gain the spirit. When we turn to the Bible, we receive life. Hallelujah. So the spirit, we receive the spirit, is what? In the scripture, the word of God. The breathing out of God, which is profitable for what? Four or five things. Number one, for teaching. Two, conviction. Three, correction. Four, instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Is this, there's something a little extra. The Bible is spirit. The Bible is life. But the Bible also is the element that leads you, calls you, to know God, to know the way of God, to know the economy of God, so that you can live and walk according to God in spirit. Without spirit, no one understands the Bible. Do you get my point? With the spirit and the Bible, you have a clear picture in following the Lord. So here, number one, teaching is what gives you revelation. What is revelation? The rolling away of the veil to see something of the triune God and his economy. So if I give you some teaching, or you read the Bible, receive some teaching in spirit. When you receive some teaching in spirit, this teaching in spirit must give you revelations. No teaching can end up in teaching. Do you get my point or not? Anivo, am I right? You have to forgive me. When I give message, I forget all the names. But in principle, you are Anivo, right?
Amen.
Okay. Aniva. Sorry. You are Aniva. Brother Aniva, do you know something very, very sweet? That no teaching end up in teaching. One day, one brother asked me, says, Brother Titus, do you think we can still have more light? I say, well, brother, if you have no more light, then that light is no longer light. Because the word in the Bible said very clear, in your light, we shall see light. If there is light, the light must lead you to the advanced light. Now, why? Because the light is related to revelations. When you come to the Bible gives you revelation. When you come receive teachings, the teaching gives you revelation. If the teaching end up in teaching, then they become doctrines. The teaching must give you revelations, and the revelations roll away the veils, take away the veils, and cause you to see God and God's economy. Then what is conviction? Conviction comes from the revelation that we see something of God. Out of seeing something of God, we have the enlightenment. Do you get my point or not? For instance, we're in the dark house. Whatever you are, it's okay. Then someone turned on the light. When someone turned the light, two things happen. Once you see what's happening in this room, another you see how improper you could become. When it's all in darkness, no one knows who is where. Do you get my point or not? You may not dress properly. You may not wash properly. You may smell, smells, okay, people can smell that. But you may not take care of your hair properly. But whatever, when the light is on, you say, oh, look at you. Isn't that happen a lot in the church life? We all say, oh, look at you. And without realize, when you look at you, you're pointing to God. And more than that, you got three fingers pointing to yourself. Oh, look at you, brother. No. When the light comes, enlightenment also comes. This enlightenment will cause you to realize your mistakes, your wrongdoings, your shortcomings, and even your sins lead you to reprove, abhor, and deny yourselves. The person who has conviction from the Lord can never boast about himself. What is that? That is, can dare not ever insist on anything. You know, the insisting is from self-life. If I see the light, then I have revelation. Out of revelation, I have enlightenment. With this enlightenment, I never dare to insist on anything because I know I may be right, but my person can be wrong. So cause you here, the outline says very clear, cause you to abhor and deny yourself. Then that followed with corrections. Correction follows, help us set right that is wrong and restoring us to an upright state. So for teaching, conviction, correction, eventually for instruction in righteousness. Oh, that is hard. This is the hardest part. What does it mean? So, okay. The Greek word of instruction is paideia, right? Paideia, right? Oh, sorry, because I don't know Greek. So when I give you Greek word, don't think I know. I only know how to spell them into English, from English. It's all the help from brothers. They help me to see it, huh? Which means what? Which is the paideia, instruction, this word, is a whole thing in education of a children, including what? Include that ministering to them, instruct them, even discipline them, even chastising them. Do you realize the Bible can chastise you? The Bible can discipline you. And the Bible can also instruct you. In other words, when the Greek word, it's not just I give you instruction. It's a whole school of training to raise you up. The Bible as a spirit with the divine word become the element, give us the whole instruction. This instruction causes us to know what is going on and causes us even to be disciplined, even to be chastised. So the instruction of righteousness, that is, this very instruction is according to who God is. Instruction in righteousness leads us to live out Christ as our righteousness. Eventually what? We're equipped, being equipped. We become an equipped person for every good work. You see, Derek, you love the Lord, right? Do you want to serve the Lord? But you are not ready. You know why? Because you need teaching. You need conviction. You need correction. Eventually you need instruction, which means what? A school of the whole training, including instruction, discipline, and chastising. All these through the word come to us. So eventually what? We are equipped for every good work. I say a good work about Seth. I know Seth, and I don't like him. I love him, but I don't like him. You know why? because he doesn't like Cleveland. He gave his life for Columbus. No matter how we beg him, advise him, ask him, require him, command him, he says, I'm for Columbus. Isn't that discouraging? But this is 2 years ago, huh? 2 years ago, isn't it? No, after 2 years. I tell you something. In these 2 years, he received a lot of teaching, a lot of conviction, a lot of correction, a lot of instruction. So eventually, he's somewhat equipped for every good work. So when I call him to come up to see what is God's economy, isn't he? Didn't he do well? Amen. The economist, or economia, right? Or eco means what? Nomia means what? I tell you, brother, love the Lord is not a desire. Love the Lord is a living. Serve the Lord is not a slogan. Serve the Lord is a living. A person have to go through this process in spirit, in resurrection. In resurrection, I'm joining the spirit, I'm joining the word. Eventually, you will be a person taught, convicted, corrected, instructed, so you are equipped for every good work. That is the issue of God's exhaling and our inhaling. God keep on breathing out in spirit through his word. And we keep on receiving in, taking in the Spirit through his word. Am I right? Then secondly, you have to enjoy. I hate time. I wish the clock can stop. Because we only have 15, 20 minutes. We have four more points. Enjoying the empowering grace through the indwelling Spirit and the equipping word. Okay, just that's good enough. Empowering grace. Okay, that's empowering grace. What is that? That is Christ. The wonderful Christ is a saving, empowering, ever-present grace as unsearchable rich capital for Christian life and church life. I'm happy. You know why I'm happy? Because I'm not you. You were born gentleman. Now come on, you stand up. Let them look at you. Isn't he a born gentleman? Do you think he can commit many things at all? He's just nice. Without Christ, he will be nice too. With Christ, he's a little bit nicer. That's it. Am I right or not? Look at him. Could you see any sign of evil in his face? Am I right? Nice. Praise the Lord. Well, because you are so nice, you have little opportunity to receive grace. I'm naughty. I major in literature. My life is a naughty life. Since my childhood, I'm a naughty boy. And I'm old man. I'm not quite sure I'm not gentle either. But, praise the Lord, let me tell you, Ben, we're very different. I enjoy so much grace in the church life. Eventually, the riches of grace come to a point. Rob away. Anything you can insist. Anything you can boast. Anything you can be proud of. Anything you can declare to others. You have nothing left. Because you know that everything is by grace. Through grace. In grace. It's all grace we are in the church life. That vice so hard. Aniva, you are just as naughty as I am. Am I right or not? Yeah, I know that. Brother, but come up. Isn't that good? That we two naughty ones in the church life, we can declare together we love Jesus.
Amen.
We love Jesus. Is it why? We say, grace.
Amen.
There's nothing he can do it. Brother, you are too naughty. Then you say that, Titus, you are even more. Then how can we still love the Lord and even serve the Lord? Brother, grace.
Amen.
How can you be in the church life? Grace.
Amen.
How can you love the Lord? Grace. Amen. How can you still follow the Lord? Grace. Amen. How can you give your life to the Lord? Grace. Amen. Are you giving your life to the Lord?
I need grace.
Enjoy grace.
Enjoy grace.
Yeah, amen. I'm Lord's servant.
Amen. I love to the service to the Lord.
Amen.
Bring grace.
Yeah. Wow, how good that is. All of a sudden, no more burden on my shoulder. I'm in the church life. Jim, I admire you. Everything's perfect. Every time I look at Jim, I somewhat feel I see light. But I'm still in the church life. I still love him because of grace. Oh, brother, marvelous. And this grace, the wonderful Christ, is a grace as what? Unsearchable rich capital. You want how much grace you want. No matter how much grace you want, he's a grace to you. Unsearchable rich capital. Then for our Christian life and church life. Grace is God's visitation as a resurrection power in us to be our supply, to meet our timely need. For what? For growth in him, and as our support, sustain, strengthen, cover, protect us, and so forth. Whatever that is, brother, just remember, it's in grace we grow. Hey, Aniva, hallelujah. You've been in Chicago 3 years?
Yeah,
5 years. 5 years? Did you grow?
Little.
Oh, little.
Little.
Oh, you have to say that. In grace, I grow. You know, so often we forget about grace. Once we forget about grace, we become heroes. We know what is right. We know what to do. We know how to go on. We know how to set the path. We know we are just like equivalent to Christ. Brother, do you know who is Christ? He is an unsearchable capital of grace for us to apply all our lives. You are 25, right? 50 years later, you'll be 75. You know, at that time, you will sing a song. What can surpass in grace? Amazing grace. Oh, I 75 years. Now, all 50-some years, I love the Lord. I can testify every year is a year of grace. Every incident is an instance of grace. Every step is a step of grace. Unsearchable capital. Then, point C, we're empowered by grace. As we become, oh, there are so many things. Because you have grace. Grace empower you. So you become, how about we read? Number one, lover of God. Number two, fan our spirit into flame. Number three, care for the testimony of our conscience. Number four, guard the good deposit of healthy word. Number five, continue in the healthy teaching. Number six, flee youthful lust. Number seven, pursue Christ with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Seven things. If you enjoy grace, sister, look at you. Look at you. Let me tell you, short of grace, you can do nothing no matter how pure you are. She's a pure sister. Three pure sisters sitting together. Everyone's pure. But let me tell you, everyone needs capital unsearchable riches of capital of Christ as grace. So you can grow. Do you understand what I say, young girl? So you can grow. If you have a little growth, like Aniva said, I grow a little by what? Grace. I'm happy. Actually, I feel so relaxed. Hallelujah. It's all grace. Amen. I'm right. It's all grace. So we need to take grace to be empowered as what? Now, all these things, as a good sword, a very grace of God, function as teachers, soldiers, athletes, farmers, workmen, vessels, unto honor. We talked about tomorrow morning. Then, thirdly, you need the mercy. You know, what is mercy? When grace reaches you and you refuse, then you need mercy. Do you get my point or not? In my bedroom. No, in my house. Sorry, not bed. In my house. Every resident I have, there's the same, the things hang on the wall. You call that, you know, the letters, Chinese letters. You know what you put on the wall? Always say the same thing. The mercy of God. You know, brother, eventually I know that. I'm a person, even grace comes, I don't know how to take it. I enjoy grace superficially.
I apply grace superficially. So I need actually mercy. So being saved according to his mercy through daily washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit through sufferings. Now, okay, this regeneration is not real regeneration. It should be restoration. In other words, from one stage to another stage to another stage. So it's kind of regeneration, but it's different with born-again regeneration. It's a different Greek word. This word shows that a restoration from one stage to another. You know, praise the Lord, there's a washing of the Lord. When the Spirit comes, we feel cleansed. When the Spirit comes, we feel clean. Who enjoy Christ, we feel clean. Who enjoy Christ, we feel we're cleansed. But these clean cleansing are not for the clean itself. It is for what? It is for the restoration, to bring you from one stage to another. I'm very happy, says, you were in the stage, I'm for Columbus. Then you are in the stage, I'm for Christ with a job. Then you are in the stage, I'm for Christ without a job. Am I right? I serve the Lord full time. Am I right? Isn't that marvelous? That is regeneration, the washing of regeneration. Do you get my point or not? I tell you, brother, we all should go from stage to maybe I go here, from stage to stage to stage, stage. You keep on growing lifelong until we are transfigured. So we need the washing of regeneration our life. Then what? Renewing of the Holy Spirit. This renewing, the Greek word here, is not time. Renewing has two Greek words. One is in time, one is in nature or character. In nature, yeah. One is in time, one is in nature. Here, this Greek word is in nature. You are renewed in nature of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the work of the Spirit becomes fresher and fresher and fresher. You are not revived once, but you are constituted differently. So this regeneration and renewing, both are related to your constitution. Both are for your constitution of this divine God. Through suffering in order to purge away all the old things and be remade or remodeled with the newness of life. You can become a different person. Praise the Lord. We go real fast. So, point four. Abiding in the excellent virtue of faith and love as a reality and expression of the triune God. So now, think about it. Number one, you have the divine breath, the Spirit. Number two, you have grace that empower you. Number three, you have mercy that regenerates you. That means bring you, keep on elevate you, and also restoring you. That is, renewing you, right? Now, with all these experiences, eventually, when you practice the church life, you abide in the excellent virtue of faith and love as a reality expression of the triune God. What is faith? Faith is our appreciation, substantiating, receiving of the unlimited riches of triune God. Here's the Bible. We all have it, right? Some will have many. I got so many. I realized I have more than 10 copies of recovery version. And some of them are falling to pieces now. Don't think I don't read the Bible. I do read them. It's a proof, right? Isn't this a proof? I'm a good student in the Bible, right? Well, brother, but remember this. It's not how you read or don't read. It is, do you really appreciate it? Many have a Bible and hold the Bible. Wow, this is a divine God. I got to read it. I mean, 5 minutes a day. I got to read it in the morning. I got to read it before I sleep. Oh, I got. Brother, there's no appreciation. No appreciation, no faith. You have Christ. I have Christ. You have Bible. I have Bible. Am I right? But you appreciate the Bible so much. There's not 1 minute you won't depart from it. And I don't appreciate it. I only read it. There's very different. You have Christ. I have Christ. You appreciate Christ so much. Every minute you want to see, to have Christ. And I don't. I tell you, brother, then the face is different. Face is not, I face. You know that sister doesn't love me? Lord will give her to be my wife. I got face. Brother, what kind of face? Junky face. The face belongs to junkyard. Brother, face is appreciation. Oh, this morning, I wish I could see my granddaughter. Then, but I was all wet. So also my car blocked everybody. So I run out, get into my car so we can have a driveway opened up for others to drive away. So this evening I come in, the first thing I do, I like to go to the nursery to see my granddaughter. Then I walk in, there are about 10 girls, 10 babies there. She's just one of the 10. Do you get my point or not? But among 10 or 15, I see my granddaughter. I want to hold my granddaughter. I want her to kiss me. I want to talk to her, even though, you know, in a public place, she's a little shy. Why? Because I appreciate her. Faith is not a harsh belief. I believe. I believe the Lord will build up the church, therefore I go love the world. Brother, you don't have that kind of believing because there's no appreciation. Faith is with appreciation. I appreciate my daughter. My granddaughter. Therefore, I have faith in my granddaughter. Do you get my point or not? Faith is appreciating, substantially receiving. Okay, appreciation is good enough. Then through our believing and trusting in God and His rich word, we receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life. We enjoy an organic union with Him. When you appreciate Him, you have the organic union with Him. Well, I'd surely like to ask you some questions. You listen so careful. Do you understand what I say? I appreciate Christ. Because I appreciate Christ, all the time I enjoy the reality of having the organic union with Christ. Do you get my point or not? If a person appreciates his wife, he would always make an effort to spend time with his wife. Do you get my point or not? If he appreciates his children, he will always make an effort to spend time with his children. If you appreciate Christ, you will always treasure Christ. Then there will be a reality of such organic union. Of that, second is love. Love is for your experiencing, enjoying, living out immeasurable reach of the triune God. Then our first love, point D. Can we read it together? Our first love for the Lord must be absolute and should issue in a ministry and transmission of love to our fellow believers as we live corporate life in Christ. So our first love for the Lord must be absolute. Do you realize the church in Ephesus is very good on everything? But God says, one thing I would rebuke you because you've missed the first love. What is first love? It means the top love. The love become superior. You know, I may love many things, but the first love is giving to Christ. So our first love for the Lord must be absolute. Amen. Do you still have a career? Yeah. Which one is your first love? Career or Christ? I'm thankful you are not a religious guy. A religious guy will say Christ. A sincere person will say, I don't know. I mean that. So many times in the church life, we perform. And we even believe in our performance. We didn't realize, no. You know, in the church life, the Lord demands your first love. Everything, Christ first. Christ's interest first. The body of Christ first. The church life first. The household of Christ must be first. Do you love your career? Do you love the Lord? Who has the first love? Just say Christ. You say you don't love the world, right? You don't love your career anymore. Oh, I know now. You love a girl.
You're not married yet, right? You love a sister, right? Now, sometimes when a young man date, I mean, their first love go to young sister. That, I agree. If you don't have that, don't marry her. But come back quickly. That can only be momentum. That can never be lifelong. First love always give to Christ. You say, oh, then you don't love your wife. Brother, there are different loves. The love to God and love to your wife, they're different love. They don't conflict. Just like you love your wife, you love your children, they don't conflict. Everyone's the first. If you have five kids, every kid is first. Do you get my point? You cannot say, I love number one, I don't love number five. What kind of father are you? Right? You have to say, I love number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, and I love them all the same, and everyone is most important to my life. Amen. Hallelujah! No, now we say, our first love go to the Lord. Then what? It should you issue in a ministry. That will cause you become a functioning, a member functioning with ministries. So here, that should issue in a ministry, then what transmission of love causes you to love others. So eventually, hallelujah, Lord looking for the crown of righteousness at the reward of kingdom. That is very normal. I don't need to read it. Because you're not the previous person, you'll never wait. If you are the previous person, you're just waiting for the Lord. Even if you don't know anything, you're still waiting for the Lord. Amen. Well, sorry, huh? I rush. A little, I really hate. Some part are very crucial. I skip them. But I hope you touch something. Amen. We still have about 25 minutes. Can we have testimonies? Today, can we make it a little bit shorter? Everyone, not more than 1 minute. Please.